You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Lastly on the show today, we have writer and editor Brodie Lancaster talking about women in film and her feminist film zine, Film Fatales.
So Film Fatales started in kind of late 2012, and I started it mostly because it was something that I wanted to read and buy, and like something that I was kind of actively looking for and couldn't find. And so I was reading like feminist magazines and websites and film magazines and websites, especially this magazine called Little White Lies. And I kind of was just really eager for something that combined the two of them and talked about film from kind of like a political or feminist perspective, or just like women writing about films with women in them, because I was so used to going and buying film magazines and just seeing men on the cover, and I just wanted to, you know, have a non-academic, non-review-based, non-male perspective on film.
Yeah, that's really interesting as well, because I think a lot of the films that you write about, or other people in Film Fatales write about as well, are ones that aren't necessarily that kind of film magazine film, right? Like Shawshank Redemption or Fight Club, or like these otherwise like obscure like Russian films or whatever. So they feel like really accessible. Was that a priority for you?
Yeah, definitely. If I were in person, you could see me nodding as you said that because I did a cinema studies degree when I was at uni, and I remember just being like, I love watching these movies and writing about them and talking about them, but when I have to read about them, it's also dense and academic, and like I couldn't really find a way into that. And so what I wanted to make, like, that was always a really big priority for me, was to have a more conversational or accessible tone, so that you didn't need to have a cinema degree or be an academic to be able to understand what the writers were saying.
Yeah, definitely. And each issue of the zine had a different theme. How did you come to decide on those themes?
Well, the first one started because that was kind of, I was like 22 and I was like, I don't see people my age in movies. And so that was kind of started from a very kind of selfish place.
The best place to start, really.
Yeah, yeah. And then from there, the next few, they kind of just came from what I was consuming in my downtime, I guess. Like, I finished one issue and my treat to myself was to finally start watching Mad Men. And so then the next issue's theme was about women at work. And there was an issue about space, and I started that after I saw Aliens and Terminator 2 and Star Wars and like a bunch of like space movies for the first time. And I was really into that idea. I tried to keep the themes really broad, and I let the writers kind of interpret them however loosely or concretely they wanted to, but it just was a nice way to tie together the just like a bunch of disparate pieces of writing under one kind of theme.
Yeah, no, definitely. And what is kind of something, or what makes a film interesting to you and makes you want to write about, and is it the same thing?
I don't know if it's the same thing, because the films that I really love and that appeal to me often aren't the ones that I want to write about. Maybe it's because writing about something turns it into work, and there's stuff that I really enjoy that I just don't want to like have to labor over. Yeah, so I don't know. I guess one thing that I look for is like a way to connect it to other things that are going on, whether it's like stuff that's going on in the world or my personal life or other films that I'm watching or books or anything like that. But then the things that appeal to me are often very different. Like I really lean heavily towards like American films, and I noticed that was kind of an ongoing theme and like a potential criticism with Film Fatales. Like people would often be like, oh, this skews very American, and it's something that I kind of did without even thinking about it. So like American comedies, and like I got really into like the mumblecore kind of movement when I was at uni, and I don't know, like I just love romantic comedies, for example, but I don't think I'm going to write about romantic comedies, but I will watch them every night on Netflix if I could.
Another thing with like writing about film and stuff is that I feel like you're expected to have seen all of those kind of classic film canon films, which can be hard sometimes.
It can be intimidating, and also like you don't meet some kind of requirement to have an opinion.
Definitely. And
I found a lot with like when people were pitching me ideas for articles, or when I, like, more often when I like reached out to writers I loved, and I would be like, hey, I would love for you to write this something about Sergeant Benjamin, like something about Goldie Hawn. And I remember a writer being like, oh, I'm not an expert, I don't know everything about her, I don't know if I'm right for it. And I was like, you don't need to be an expert on Goldie Hawn, you just have to have something to say about Goldie Hawn.
Yeah, definitely. Do you find that more with women that you reach out to as well?
100%. I think there's an expectation that we have to be experts before we're allowed to have an opinion on something. And so often as I got more confident as an editor, I think I got more confident in like kind of manufacturing that confidence in my writers. So like I would have sometimes people would submit something to me, and the first like paragraph or two would be them kind of bolstering themselves up to be in a position to have an opinion on it. So they'd be like, oh, I've been watching this movie since I was a kid, and I studied it at school, and I wrote this thing about it, and it's my favorite movie, and I know everything about it. And then they'd get into what they had to say.
Yeah.
And I would always end up deleting that first part, because it was like, you're allowed to have an opinion even if this isn't like, you know, your area of expertise. You're still allowed.
Yeah, definitely. And I think when you're trying to like bring women up to be able to do that as well, it can be hard, I think, like, because it's so rare for women to be directing or writing or playing the lead in films that you might be writing about, or people writing for Film Fatales might be writing about. Do you think that it's hard to criticize films or works by women that maybe do need that criticism, because it's like you want to praise them for being a woman who's got that made, because it's so hard to do that?
Yeah, definitely. It can be really tricky, and it was also like, it's kind of like a stepping stone in like, you know, learning how to be a feminist, I guess, is being like, I want to support women, but I don't have to support bad work if it just happens to be made by women.
And I
wouldn't have that same allowance for like any other person making a film. There was like a great piece in, I think it was in issue one, it was like very early on, it was by a writer called Gemma Flynn, who I feel like I talk about her in every single interview I have to do, because she was just kind of like, making Film Fatales like brought her into my life. She's a writer and an academic from Scotland, and she wrote this really great article in issue one about the movie Friends with Kids,
right,
which came out like post Bridesmaids, but was just kind of this disappointing story about like nagging wives and like unhappy, unfunny couples. And it was like 5 years ago, and I haven't read it recently, but it does spring, so I don't remember every detail of it, but it does spring to mind because, yeah, it was one of those ones where I was like, this is the first issue. Do I really want to be making something that's criticizing the work of women in a film that stars women, was written by women? But then I was like, well, I would do it for anyone else. It's not really equal opportunity kind of criticism if I'm pretending it's perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. And what made you decide that this would be the last issue of Film Fatales?
It was hard. It was really hard to, like, to make that decision. I guess the thing is, like, when I started it, it was the only thing I was making. And, like, I worked a job in advertising, and I made Film Fatales on nights and weekends, which I had totally free because I wasn't doing anything else. And then Film Fatales kind of became like a bit of a calling card accidentally. Like, I didn't intend for it to be, but, you know, people at like writers' festivals got me to do stuff because of it. And like, I got my job because of it. I got the chance to write for Rookie because Tavi had seen Film Fatales. Like, it kind of led to a bunch of stuff that has led to even more stuff. And so like in the past year, I've just kind of gotten busier and busier. And it just has become harder to make an issue of it and to be able to, it requires a lot of time, and I haven't just had that time to dedicate to it. So I just kind of want to put the brakes on a bit and figure out what else I want to do when I'm not making this one thing.
Going forward in like the future of film and film criticism as well, what do you hope to see?
Let me think. I think I would hope to see, I mean, more diverse voices is kind of an obvious one, but I think it's important to have people of all kind of like, all kinds of people writing about and writing criticism about film, as important as it is to have those same people writing film and like creating really specific stories so that the films that we see are not just kind of this one assumed experience of different people's lives. I mean, I'm thinking really specifically right now, like I watched Moonlight recently and I had heard and read so much about it because it's been out in the States for a few months that I thought I was prepared for what it was going to do.
No,
I was just so unprepared. I just cried my eyes out, but I was also like, it told such a specific person's experience, but in doing that it said so much about like broader issues and themes. And so I loved that, and there's a critic for MTV News, Ira Madison III, who wrote this really excellent very early piece about Moonlight. That kind of stuff is so important, to have like a gay black man writing about a film that's about being gay and black in America. That's so important, and it's like I could write about how Moonlight affected me, but I am a white lady in Australia who doesn't relate to that experience.
And so
it is important to have those perspectives coming out on the creative side, but also on the criticism side.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.